I read recently where that Gil Scott-Heron recording, Johannesburg, which is a number of years old now, has been reissued, and it is so up to date. It is so up to the minute in terms of all of its references that it could have been written yesterday. Gil Scott-Heron, Brian Jackson, and the Midnight Band, Johannesburg. In between Free Nelson Mandela, which is the special AKA, and of course Sun City, it's Artists United against apartheid. And I've been meaning to play that Gil Scott-Heron Johannesburg for a number of weeks now. Finally got around to it this morning. I'm Vince Gelsa. This is the Sunday Morning Show. Don't forget, next Sunday we start an hour earlier, and that'll be our new time slot. As we begin the new year, the program will be heard each and every Sunday morning from 9 a.m. until 12 noon. We're going to start to work our way out of our funk now by moving along from South Africa and violence and racism and terrorist attacks and all of those kinds of things. And we're going to talk about unemployment. Life should be one part holidays and two parts cheer. This is WXRK New York. I'm Vince Gelsa. And I can't seem to... Here it is. Oh! It says here, tomorrow's special featured artist on the K-Rock Cafe between noon and one will be Patti Smith. It says Patti Smith BD. What does BD mean? Patti Smith BD... Patti Smith Band, I guess. That's probably what it is. Patti Smith Band. Okay, they'll be featured. Where is Patti Smith? Where did Patti go? Patti went... She was... Last I heard, she was living in somewhere in the Midwest. She married Fred Sonic Smith, who was a member of the MC5 way back when, and they had a child, and that's it. That's all I know. That's all I've ever heard about that. She got out, man. She disappeared. She faded away. She did more than fade away. She just gone, man. It's like evaporated, you know. But you can hear some Patti Smith music on the radio tomorrow on the Meg Griffin Show. Although I don't think Meg is in. I think Meg is on vacation. Jimmy Fink perhaps will be there. I'm not sure. But okay, we go from all of those other terribly depressing things to a book this morning on unemployment. It's a book that is sort of the literary equivalent of what Bruce Springsteen is up to these days. Very interesting novel by a gentleman named Robert Ward. It was published several months back. I finally got around to reading a copy of it. Red Baker is the title of this novel. It is published by the Dial Press in hardcover. Red Baker, B-A-K-E-R, that's the character's name, the lead character of the book, who is also the narrator of the book. And Robert Ward is the author of the book. Red Baker is about a steelworker in Baltimore who gets laid off, whose plant not only lays him off, but whose plant eventually just closes down and is never going to open up again. Sound familiar? Shades of that letter that Springsteen and Willie Nelson ran in several publications a couple of weeks back about the 3M plant down in Freehold, New Jersey. Shades of dozens and dozens of plants and factories and companies all over the country. So this book is about this guy. He's 40 years old. He's got a wife. He's got a teenage son who's a musician, a sort of a jazz musician. And he's a kind of a average Joe. You know, he's a sort of a middle-class guy who's got this this thing that he knows how to do, which is beyond the line in this steel mill. And without that, he's got nothing else. I mean, he can't sell himself to anybody for anything other than that, you know. And this book is him dealing with being unemployed and with redefining his life and redefining his relationship with his family and his friends. And it's real good. It's real down to earth. With characters that are totally believable, situations that are, for the most part, believable. There is a kind of a twist towards the end of the book that maybe could have been done without, but it sort of adds a little extra excitement to it. That's some neat writing. This is towards the beginning of his period of unemployment, when he's just kind of hanging around the house. I picked up the TV magazine and flipped through the rough pages and saw suddenly that The Honeymooners was on. This was something I didn't want to do, had told myself to avoid at all costs, but suddenly it seemed, and I hate to admit this, it seemed so lame that if I watched a little of it, with good old familiar Ralph and Ed, it would cool me out, almost like talking to an old friend. So I switched on the RCA color track we have on the gold tray with wheels at the end of our bed. And right away I knew the episode. Knew it? Hell, I'd seen it maybe 40 times. It was the one where Ed and Ralph buy all these pots and pans and cooking utensils which they decide to advertise on TV. Old Norton is the chef of the past who uses this worthless old-time apple corer. And Ralph is supposed to be the chef of the future using their modern new equipment. And the scene that always cracked me up in the past is when Norton has this chef's hat on and he's fumbling with the dull old apple corer. And then he says, "Oh, chef of the future, do you know a modern way to core an apple?" And Ralph, who up to now has been all cocky as hell and ready to knock him dead, Ralph comes on with this new gadget, only he gets stage fright. And instead of talking, he starts mumbling, "Om nom 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 nom," and sweat starts pouring down his great fat head, and he flails around like a baby rhino and knocks down the whole set, pots and pans flying everywhere. Now, like I say, I've seen that show maybe 40 times. In fact, it's one of my all-time favorites. Didn't seem to matter how often I saw it. It always cracked me up. I'm talking about serious laughing, where you're holding your sides and you can't breathe right. And this time wasn't any different. I started laughing the second I recognized the show, and by the time the set was destroyed, I was falling backward on the bed, yowling like a madman, only suddenly I couldn't stop laughing. And then my voice began to sound like the fat lady's screech at Gwyn Oak Funhouse, the place where Buck and Dot used to take me as a kid. And I saw the fat lady's mechanical mouth opening and her great fat geared jaws and those perfectly even 2-foot-long file teeth and the way she rocked back and forth like some crazed priest come to tell you about the everlasting pain of hellfire. And then I made myself stop, holding my chest and feeling like a fool and thanking God I was alone. But then another thought scared me almost as badly. What if, when I was applying for a job, I got like Ralph and said, "Hi, I'm Red Baker," humna, 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 and couldn't stop. That thought sent cold chills through me, and I huddled up in the old terry cloth robe, an act that usually settled me down. But it's a funny thing about terry cloth. You get yourself a fireplace and a dog named Chief and a good shot of Wild Turk in your terry cloth, and it'll seem like the damnedest, coziest material on earth. But here, sitting in the drafty bedroom, my skin clammy with the fears, suddenly that terry cloth seemed cheap and threadbare and like everything else in my life, lousy, second-hand, something only an out-of-work bum would wear. Suddenly I couldn't stand having it on me. It was the damnedest thing, and I was ashamed to tell you these feelings, which I would ordinarily associate with a lunatic, but it was me, Red Baker, who felt this way. And I knew the longer I stayed in that bedroom, the closer I was going to come to heading down the booby hatch. So I threw on my street clothes, rushed down the steps, and set out looking for work. And he sort of finds work here and there throughout the book. And towards the very end, when he's just about getting ready to leave Baltimore, he's on a bus, and he's now working as a janitor in Harbor Place, right? Picking up garbage, because this is the only thing this 40-year-old former steel worker is qualified to do. And he's on his way to work. And he's on his bus, see? And he writes like this: I stared half dead out the window at the bright new city with its huge office buildings all lit up and empty, and suddenly I felt that it was a strange place, not Baltimore at all. What's more, I suddenly realized that it had been a strange place for a long time now. But because I lived in Highland Town, because I had my job, my family, and my friends, I hadn't noticed how much it had all changed. Of course, I knew it was different, more built up, but none of that really affected me or my family. But now, for the first time, I saw things as they really were. I saw that the city had been pushing me and my friends all along, and we had been so caught up in just staying alive that we had never once pushed back. The bus turned down Broadway and took a left on Eastern Avenue, and then the row houses were on my right and Patterson Park on my left. I thought for a minute that being back in the neighborhood would make me feel better, but it didn't, because I knew that it wasn't just the mill that was shut down. It was everything I had known and loved about Highland Town since I was a kid. Even the streets and houses themselves. Our whole way of life was going to go. The author's name is Robert Ward. The novel is entitled Red Baker. It's published by the Dial Press in hardcover. I highly recommend it. This is WXRK New York, the Vin Scalzo Sunday Morning Show on K-Rock.
Oh,
Talking Heads on K-Rock. Sly and the Family Stone and The Alarm and Springsteen as well. And this band, The Cucumbers, one of the featured bands tomorrow night in our Monday Night Madness show at the Ritz. This is called Walking and Talking on 92.3 K-Rock. Starting to lighten up now. Serious stuff is over, friends. T-shirt and Razzoo coming up in a little while. Cucumbers from their album Who Betrays Me and Other Happier Songs. The Cucumbers on K-Rock, Vince Gelza's Sunday Morning Show from Hoboken, across the river. And they will be on the New York side of the river tomorrow night for our Monday Night Madness. This is the first in a series of shows that K-Rock, that we are putting on at the Ritz. It's not just music. It's going to be a strange assortment of things. I can't tell you about all of it because I don't even know about all of it. But I will have the pleasure of being your host tomorrow night at the Ritz, and I hope you get to attend. And as I say, it's the first of, I think, 6 weeks that we'll be doing each of them on a Monday night. As a matter of fact, I want to give away a pair of tickets right now to attend Monday Night Madness at the Ritz. But there's a special thing that don't call up yet. Hold on just a second.